welcome to another episode of the One Goal US Soccer Podcast. Before we get started here, asking George how he's doing, I'll also plug our previous episode about the MLS Super Draft and Jordan Morris to Swansea. It's clear to me and to George as well that you guys don't like college soccer, so that's noted. We wouldn't talk about that as much anymore, but George, we'll start how we always start. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay. Man U somehow lost to Sheffield United, so that wasn't great, but other than that, no complaints, and yeah, let's get after it.
Yeah, man, that was tough, definitely. I didn't get to watch that game, but anytime Man United drops points, I'm pretty happy with that, but I'm sorry for you. In terms of housekeeping and newsworthy stuff we can touch on, first of all, Thomas Tuchel is to Chelsea now. He's the manager. Frank Lampard let go. And then we still have no answer in that Brian Reynolds saga. It looks like Roma is finally going to be the one, but since we've done it every single week trying to figure out if this is going to be the week, we're going to wait till it's officially official. And so let's start about the Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea. How does that help or how does that hurt Christian Pulisic?
It helps him because it's a manager that he knows, the manager that promoted him to the first team at Dortmund. Even today, he didn't start the game. He started 8 of the last 9 games. So I'm fine with that. I'm not going to read too much into it. But even at halftime, they had the little moment where they're joking around. They're like pushing each other. That's not the way you act with the manager who you met yesterday. And the reason they're acting like that, because they didn't meet yesterday like he did with all the other players. They've known each other. He has that relationship. So in that sense, it's great for Pulisic. But on the other end, it looks as though Tuchel's trying to go forward with the 5-back and play with wing backs. We saw today it was Callum Hudson-Odoi who played right wing back, and then Pulisic came in and played that position. So ideally, if going forward the rest of the season, he plays as a right wing back, maybe that's not what we would like to see. We like to see him getting forward, cutting in from the left and attacking positions. But I think just in terms of a manager, it's good to have somebody that he knows. And we'll see how positionally he develops.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think it's tough right now to make a full conclusion for sure. I think it's interesting. Ross Hall of One Goal put a nice little article together detailing, you know, what it would be like for Pulisic. And I think it's cool because you look at how you use Neymar. And I think Neymar a lot of times played on the left wing and would come in a lot and take space inside. And I think that's something we like to see from our number 10, Christian Pulisic. So I'm excited for that. And hopefully things do go well. Like, it can't go much worse. So I feel like we can be optimistic for the time being. Is there anything else housekeeping-wise you touch on? Or should we get to the Trinidad and Tobago U.S. Soccer preview?
I mean, I'd say just a last thing on Pulisic, just even if he is playing as a wing back, like we saw him absolutely dust Semedo. So even if he does play as a wing back, he can still destroy the lives of right backs everywhere. So wouldn't read too much into it. And then I guess too, Brendan Aaronson got an assist. He had a nice layoff and the player for Salzburg just absolutely took it from there. So nice to see him get off the mark points wise. And I think the Austrian league is a league where honestly you might see him get more goals and assists than he did in MLS. I watched the Salzburg documentary from their season last year when they had Erling Haaland, Minamino, and they were just scoring goals for fun. So Brendan Aaronson's going to get goals. He's going to get assists, and it's going to be great to watch.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't remember who said this on Twitter, but someone on Twitter, whoever you are, shout out to you, was mentioning like the speed of play in the Austrian Bundesliga, and I think it's like 3 ratings slower than the MLS. So I think you're right about that prediction that Aaronson could really explode on the scene. I really hope that he does because this league, he's faster than everyone there. And I think that will definitely show itself and it's shown already. So I'm excited for him. But I think now we can go on to the Trinidad and Tobago versus U.S. men's national team. I will point out, of course, that this is not a revenge game. We're bigger, we're better than this. But let's take a look at that Trinidad and Tobago squad. I don't know if I need to read off every single name here, but I think the most important thing is no Jovan Jones, no Kevin Molino, and no Levi Garcia. And he's a winger who plays in Greece, and he's their highest valued player. In terms of other things worth noting, 8 US-based players, 3 in the MLS, 5 in the USL. Give me your initial thoughts on Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not their full strength team. I think I look at Alvin Jones, 25 appearances. It says there 1 goal, and that goal is the absolute rocket he scored against the U.S. So this guy just loves playing against us, loves reminding us, hey, I knocked you out of World Cup qualifying. So it'll be nice to see a Big Al again. And a name that really stands out to me is Michael DeShields. I actually talked about him on the podcast last week. He was a number 5 pick out of Wake Forest, went to DC United. He's somebody who I said a lot of the college soccer players that transition to the full national team are defenders. And I highlighted him. I didn't even know he had a Trinidadian roots, but here he is. Obviously, it won't cap tie him, similar to our guys who have played in friendlies in the past. But just interesting to see him in a full national team setup. And who knows, maybe he can even play and catch Berhalter's eye and for a future men's national team call for the USA.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? I think it's really interesting. I think Trinidad and Tobago, their manager is English guy, so they're trying to, you know, put together something. Obviously, it's tough with COVID. The manager said that, you know, because we have a lot of guys abroad, they don't have that many for the record, but they have a couple they couldn't bring over. So again, this isn't their full strength squad, but even if it was, I don't think it would make a difference. But I think for the U.S., maybe we should talk about, you know, there were some cuts to the roster. So they had that big joint camp, and then a couple days ago, we found out that there's a 25-man roster for this upcoming match. So, all right, so let's read the U.S. roster because this is a U.S. soccer podcast and enough college soccer talk already. I got it. I hear you guys. We're done with it. But let's go through first the guys who didn't make it. Chris Gloucester, Abubakar Keita, Henry Kessler, Hassani Dotson, Brian Keogh, Eric Williamson, Cade Cowell, Jeremy Abobasi, Donovan Pines, and then Jordi Mihailovic. So initially, give me your thoughts on the guys that were cut.
I think not too many surprises. A lot of the guys were either younger or new to the U23 setup. I'd say the only two real guys who've played multiple games with the full national team are Mihailovic and Abobise. I think they'll both definitely be disappointed that they're not carrying on with a full national team and getting those games, especially Abobise, who wasn't in the December camp and didn't play in that game. So he'll be disappointed, and I'm sure that'll just give him that edge to kick off his MLS campaign starting strong.
Yeah, I mean, for me, one thing I think about is Chris Gloucester, and he was somebody that after that U20 World Cup, super strong performance, gets the move to PSV. We mentioned it last week. He's kind of on the outside there for drawing PSV, hasn't even broken into the first team, but doesn't make with the U23 team. So that's worrying to me because he was someone a lot of people penciled in for the Olympics, and it's pretty clear, at least at this point, that that might not be the thing after all. It might be the Sam Vines and it might be the George Bellows show after all. And I know you like George because, of course, you're a George as well. But
what does that say about,
of course, what does that say about Chris Gloucester's situation? Obviously, the Newcastle links, and then he's also linked to a Danish club, I believe, now. We can throw the Newcastle stuff out, I think, just because there's no way he's going to qualify for a work permit in the UK. But is this worrying for Chris Gloucester?
Yeah, I think for him, obviously, I read somewhere that his agent is known for getting players to Europe early, and the Danish team that he's linked with is the same one Haji Wright's at. So obviously they have a track record of helping an American come from a difficult time in Europe and get better. But I think for Chris Gloucester, I think I would like to see him in MLS, because right now you see George Bellow, you see Sam Vines getting those looks, even with the full national team right now, they're in the picture. And I think if he can, for a little bit, say, let's just pump the brakes on the European adventure. Obviously, I went to Europe. Maybe it didn't quite work out the way I did, but this isn't the it for me in Europe. I don't want him to think that he has to stay in Europe because he's already there. I don't want him to think that MLS is taking a step back. It's just the next step, and I think it would make sense. Go to a team where you are starting 30 games in MLS, starting 20 plus games in MLS, and you are playing in front of American scouts every single day. It's work for George Bellow. It's work for Chase Gaspar. It's work for Sam Vines, all the guys you're competing with. If you are better than them in MLS, you will get called up. If you're doing well in Denmark, maybe then people start to question, oh, how do we convert Danish left-back minutes to MLS left-back minutes? So I think just for a year or two, just go to MLS, cut your teeth, be the absolute stud we know you are. Let us watch you live in person again. We've missed you while you've been out there at Hanover and PSV, and just come back home for a little bit, you know, and enjoy your mom's cooking, and you'll get back to Europe soon enough.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, actually. I think, you know, you talk about how to evaluate the left back. Like, Haji Wright's already playing for them, and he's having an incredible season, and yet he wasn't involved in that November camp, and people have been talking about him, but to what extent, you know? And I think, like you mentioned, it's really hard to evaluate the non-MLS guys who are not playing in a top-tier league. So I think for someone like Chris, like you said, get in here, let's get your stock back up, and those options will still be there. If you're good enough here, like you said, it'll show, and you'll be evaluated correctly. So I'm with you. I hope that, you know, New York Red Bulls, they have his homegrown rights, I think. So I think That should be the place he ends up if he's going to come to MLS. Whatever happens for Chris, we root for the best regardless. So I think hopefully things work out for him and we see him on the field soon. But let's move now to that full roster. I think the big thing here, we talk about goalkeepers, Matt Turner, JC Marcinkowski, and then Matt Fries. Matt Turner is a starter, right?
Yeah, I think all signs point to Matt Turner getting his long-awaited U.S. debut. I think JT Marcinkowski is probably the starter for the U23s. Maybe he gets a cameo off the bench, but I think Matt Turner is a starter. We've mentioned it before. It's almost become like a meme about Matt Turner being better than Zach Steffen, but he's never actually played a national team game. And so I'm excited. Like I've mentioned before, he played college soccer in Connecticut. I've known him for a long time. I've seen his journey from being undrafted to being a backup, to starting, to losing a spot, to starting again, and now being the best American keeper in MLS. So just really excited, and hopefully he can keep the clean sheet because I do think he'll be starting.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's his job to lose at this camp, at least. Yeah, I'm excited for Matt. I'll support all the Matts. So anytime there's two Matts in the three goalkeeper group, I'm excited about that. But let's move to the defenders as well. We have Julian Araujo, George Bello, Kyle Duncan, Aaron Herrera, Aaron Long, Mauricio Pineda, Miles Robinson, and then Walker Zimmerman, Sam Vines as well. So give me your thoughts on that group.
I think a lot of right backs. I think the Julian Araujo is very interesting. He was at the camp, then he wasn't at the camp. Now he's back at the camp, and so good for him. Definitely excited he can be there. Kyle Duncan, Aaron Herrera, other right backs. Tristan Blackman obviously had to go with the concussion. So I think just that will be unique to kind of see who starts. Maybe it's a surprise pick. Maybe it's Aaron Herrera getting his debut. He's been very solid for a long time for Salt Lake, long time youth national team player. Out of those names, he's the guy who's been at the camp since day one. So I think Aaron Herrera might get the start there. And just in terms of everything else, will be interesting to see who starts a left back, maybe George Bello, maybe Sam Vines. But other than that, pretty standard. And I expect to see Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman holding up the back line.
I think for me, one thing I'm curious about is Mauricio Pineda. And he's someone that, like, college center back, had a good year for Chicago Fire. Is he someone that's, like, fully, you think, in the national team picture? Or this is more of someone that was better than the guys who were behind him at this camp and the last camp, but if there's a full-strength squad, I don't think he exactly makes it all the way there.
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily broken into the conversation full national team-wise, but I think this is very telling that he is a top option for the U23s because you have him and Miles Robinson, the center backs who are called up, and then you have the likes of Henry Kessler and Donovan Pines, Abubakar Keita, all guys who have a lot of experience, and they were left with the U23s or going home. So out of all the center backs, he was at least number two. So that's very telling that if Olympic qualifying happens, he'll be there.
What do you think the center back pairing is going to be? If I had to bet right now, I think I would go Walker Zimmerman, Aaron Long, and then either George Bello, Sam Vines on the left, and then, like you mentioned, maybe Aaron Herrera on the right. What do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely that center back partnership should be locked in unless Greg Berhalter throws a curveball, maybe gives Miles Robinson a start. But I definitely think it'll be Zimmerman and Long. I think just based on longevity in the camp, Aaron Herrera has been there since day one, so he should start a right back. And then left back, I really don't know. You see the behind the crest videos they put out, and Sam Vines and George Bello both have really good moments in those videos. Obviously, it's just a microscopic piece of the camp that we get to see, but Greg Berhalter in one of the clips was absolutely praising Sam Vines, said, "Yes, Sammy, that's the way we like you breaking forward." And then we saw a clip before where one of the assistant coaches was coaching up George Bello. So I think it's very evident that those guys are the two main guys there at left back. And honestly, we'll see who it is.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch. Let's move to the midfielders now. We have Kellen Acosta, Sebastian Legette, Benji Michel, listed as a midfielder. That's pretty interesting, I think. Andres Pereira, Christian Roldan, Tanner Tessman, and then Jackson Newell. So just give me your thoughts on that group also.
Yeah, I think Benji Michel, definitely a guy. It means he impressed with the U23s, doesn't have a lot of youth national team experience, had a sneakily good year for Orlando, a lot of the attention was on Nani, on Chris Mueller, on Daryl DK. But every time he played, like I mentioned, he was dynamic, not just in his goals, but in his celebrations as well with those flips. So definitely it means he impressed. When you look at someone like Jeremy Abobise, who has national team caps, and he's here ahead of him. And when it says midfielder, I guess that just means he's playing as a winger. He's not going to threaten DK, Altidore, those guys in terms of a striker. But other than that, I expect Jackson Yule to start. I expect Christian Roldan to start. And out of those names, it'll be interesting to see if Tanner Tessman gets on the field. He was one of the youngest guys at the U23 camp, came in late even, and still earned a national team spot, which is very telling.
Yeah, I wonder about Jackson Yule getting the start, because I think he showed well in our last game. But I don't know if we've seen everything we need to see from him in that respect. Maybe would it shock you if Andres Pereira got a start after filing his one-time switch?
It wouldn't shock me at all. So I think it's either I jumped the gun and saying Yule will start. I do think Roldan and Legette are the two guys who should start at the 8 and the 10, and then either Yule or Pereira starts at the 6. Or maybe Greg Berhalter wants to see someone new. He's seen Sebastian Legette every single day of every single camp. He's been at every camp since last January, the only person to do that. Christian Roldan hasn't played for the national team since late 2019. So maybe Berhalter says, hey, Sebastian, thank you for coming. Thank you for flying out to Europe for us, but just take a break. Like, we need to get some other guys on the field. So if that happens, then I wouldn't be surprised to see a Yule Pereira Roldan midfield.
What about Kellen Acosta? Could he sneak in?
I don't think Kellen Acosta starts. Like I said, I haven't been there. He could well start, but I definitely do see him getting on the field at some point.
Yeah, I like Kellen Acosta just getting back into the national team. It's just good to see that. It's a great story, so I'm happy for Kellen especially. I think the Benji Michel thing is still weird to me, because you mentioned that maybe he's a winger, but Jonathan Lewis listed among the forwards is just weird to me. So I guess we'll see if Benji Michel gets on the field, what he ends up doing. But it's just a question mark to keep in mind, I guess, right?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't read too much into it. It's not like the Tyler Adams Gold Cup defender thing that everyone was like, whoa, why is Tyler Adams listed as a defender? I think let's just see what happens on the field.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what happens, definitely. But let's move to the forwards. Shout out Josie Altidore, Paul Arriola, maybe Swansea, Paul Arriola soon, Daryl DK, Jesus Ferreira, Jonathan Lewis, our boy, and then Chris Mueller. What are your thoughts on that group?
Happy for Jonathan Lewis, back with the U23s, now back with a full national team. We saw a little bit of his skill check during practice. They put that video up. Looks like he's balling. He seems excited. There's a video where his team won and he's like, I got points. So yeah, he looks like he's having fun. I'm excited to see him. Probably he'll come in off the bench, hopefully. And yeah, like I said, he's a great guy. He was our first ever interview, so he holds a special place in our hearts, and we'll always love Jay Wu. But other than that, I think we'll see Josie starting and Daryl DK off the bench. I think that's the main attraction, kind of like the old and the new. But for me, I think it's the two presents. I think it's two people that can definitely help the national team at this time. And I really don't think, if you look at the USMNT strikers from the past 20 years, I don't think you could pick a better one for Daryl DK to have in this camp. There is no one he will learn from better in terms of holding the ball up, in terms of finishing, and in terms of just being a good man and being a good teammate from Josie Altidore. So I think I do see Josie starting, and I think when Daryl DK comes off the bench for him, it'll be like a metaphorical passing of a torch. Like, go on, young man, carry this on. Have fun, go at it. So I think we'll see Josie start, DK off the bench, but even if it's reversed, I'd be fine with that.
I really hope, for Josie's sake and for all the haters' sake, that Josie gets on there, he starts right away, and then within like the first 20 minutes, he just bags two goals, and he's just like, look, man, like, I'm the boy. Because I think he always has been.
Well, Sebastian Legette is the boy. Let's not take it. That's his whole brand. We can't take that from him.
All right, what about, so Josie scores two goals, he goes, I'm the man.
He's the man. Yeah, the boy.
He's the man. Gets an assist from Du Bois. Possible, right?
Exactly.
Right. And then DK passing it off to the teenager. Possible. Too much. All right. We'll talk about Josie out.
I don't think that's it. I really don't think that's it.
All right, fine. Too much. It's all right. But anyways, so Josie Altidore, yeah, I think he's going to be the starter for sure. What about on the wings? Maybe like Jonathan Lewis and then Chris Mueller. I guess Paul Ariola has to get a claim on one of the wings because he had a great time last time. He's in great form. He's back from his injury.
I think Paul Ariola needs games. He, even though he did come back from his injury, he's played limited minutes in two games since then. So I think he gets a start, especially if he is going to Swansea. It wouldn't hurt to get a game in before he goes there because he hasn't gotten game time yet. So they'll hope he doesn't hurt himself playing this game. But I think even then, they probably would be like, yeah, why don't we just see him play a game? Like, just one quick game. Like, take him off at halftime if you need to. And then Chris Mueller, he's at his home stadium. He balled out against a weak team last time out. This is a slightly better team. Actually, maybe a little bit above slightly better team. And let's see him do it again. So I think he'll get the start on the left wing. Who knows? Is Jesus Ferreira going to come in? Is Jonathan Lewis going to come in? Daryl DK, if he doesn't start, is pretty much secured to come in, at least I think.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel bad for our boy John Lewis. One thing when he said in our interview was, I don't want to be the super sub. Like, I want to be bigger than that. I want to be more than that. And I want to really push for a spot. And I think it's certainly good that he's back with the squad. But is there a chance he starts? Or it's like, all right, you just got back in here. Let's slow it down a bit.
For Jonathan Lewis, I think the cuts are very telling in terms of the U23s. This means that he is, in terms of the U23s, if you look at who was cut, who's still there, he's a starter for right now. When Olympic qualifying happens, he's looking like he's going to start. And I think that's pretty important. And that's a springboard. Right now, obviously, you have guys like Chris Mueller, like Paul Ariola, Jordan Moritz, who's in the camp before, who aren't age eligible for the Olympics. So they'll get the precedent in terms of the full national team when the Olympics is happening. So I think for him, just making sure he is a starting 11 of that Olympic squad. If he is the guy at left wing for the Olympics, then if that goes well, he's on to the national team. And we've seen so quickly how these things can happen, where Brian Reynolds goes from not even in the picture to a big money move, or Reggie Cannon, the year before he started starting, he didn't really play at all. So it happens so quick. And I think having your starting point being an Olympic starter is a great starting point in terms of eventually moving to a full national team starter.
I agree. I think it'll take time. And I really hope for John's sake that it ends up working out for him. I think, like you mentioned, starting the Olympics is not a bad spot at all. So hopefully things do work out. I'm curious, you look at the whole roster, we've been through it all now. Who is one guy, or maybe two guys, you look at and say, this guy or these guys have the most to gain?
I would say Andres Pereira, easily. If he can come in his debut and just show Berhalter something that he hasn't seen from other guys in his position. If you look at Jackson Newell, what makes him stand out is his passing. He has the best passing, I think, out of all our number sixes. You look at Johnny Cardoso, he has the grit. He has the savviness because he's played in Brazil. And Tyler Adams is a starter. I don't need to mention everything Tyler Adams can do. I'm mentioning these guys as who's going to back up Tyler Adams. So you have those guys, like I said, who've all shown something they can give that Tyler Adams doesn't. But Andres Pereira, from what a lot of people have said, is kind of similar to Tyler Adams. So he's going to need to show, what can I give that this guy doesn't? So that way, if he needs a backup, I'm the one that can come in and put my stamp there rather than just being Tyler Adams light and making it seem like, oh, wow, we have Tyler Adams light on the field instead of the real Tyler Adams. What can you bring differently, whether that's his defensive work rate, whether that's him being able to shoot from 35 yards, whatever it is, he needs to find that thing and do it pretty well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a great shout. Also, I want to mention that Jake Castillo and I did a great deep dive article into what Andres Pereira can bring to the national team, and we literally called him Tyler Adams light. So hopefully he can shed that nickname for all of our sake. But I think he's definitely someone that we will see soon in the game, hopefully starting, but we'll see him no matter what, I think. And he does have a lot to gain for sure. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that could really solidify themselves with maybe the full team. Maybe you think Walker Zimmerman has a lot to gain in this tournament, sorry, in this game, because we know what we're seeing in him. He's obviously one of the better domestic based options, but could he establish himself and say, like, I'm actually one of the core four, maybe?
I don't think in this game, no. I think just over the course of the camp, just in terms of being an older guy, he's establishing himself well. I honestly think for him, the entire camp is more important in this one game, because he needs to show Greg Berhalter that he's a vet, he's been around, he can lead guys. So that way, if you need to bring in a fourth center back, you're thinking, oh, I think I'd rather bring in someone like Walker Zimmerman, who's been here before and has experience, than maybe like a Carter Cameron Vickers, who hasn't really played a lot with the full national team, or Eric Palmer Brown. So when that tough decision comes, they think Walker Zimmerman, he's the guy who the guys love being around. And if called upon, I know he can be there. So I think he has more to gain off the field than on it, in a way, because we're not going to learn anything new about Walker Zimmerman against Trinidad and Tobago. He's played harder people we've seen in the CONCACAF Champions League in the past, in the MLS in the past, in All-Star games. So I don't think on the field against Trinidad is going to tell us anything new about Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think as a whole, I don't think we're going to gain that much in terms of new information, because like you mentioned, this is a game that we should win. You know, they're a little bit better than El Salvador, but we should be winning this game no matter what. I think like a 5-0, 4-0, 3-0, like Trinidad and Tobago shouldn't score. And I think that it should be a pretty easy game for us. I don't know. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely. You want to win, and you want to win by multiple goals. At the end of the day, obviously, you're missing guys. You're missing even domestic guys like Jordan Morris, who had to leave. But you have guys who have been here before. You have guys who are talented. Josie Altidore probably wants two or three. Chris Mueller, he probably wants two or three. Paul Arriola wants one or two. Like, all these guys want to score. Sebastian Legette, he wants to score for the third game running. So these guys all have something that they want to prove. At the end of the day, even if we think that if they win 5-0, it's not telling us anything, they don't think that, because you never know when your last game of the national team jersey is going to be. And we've seen guys being one cap wonders who might never get called up again. You never know what your national team future is. So to these guys, it's an important game. You want to score every goal you can. You want to put your best forward every time you get to put on the jersey, because it is an honor no matter who you're playing.
Definitely, I agree with that. That's a really great point. And I think that's a point we can kind of end on, honestly, because I think, you know, we'll see what happens in the game itself, but let's just enjoy it. You know, fans, commentators, casuals, whatever, just enjoy the game. It's pretty cool, regardless of the time, regardless of the date, regardless of the opponent, regardless of it's even our best squad. Just like seeing the men's team on the field, you get to wear your jersey at home and you get to enjoy it. So I think that's really fun for me, and I think for you as well. That's just something we all can enjoy. I'm trying to think if there's any other housekeeping news we have to touch on, but what's your score prediction?
Let's go. I was going to say 3-1, but I'm not going to wish a no clean sheet on Matt Turner's debut. So we're going 3-0.
I think 3-0 is pretty good. I'm in agreement on that. I'm not a betting man, so I'm not going to bet on it. But I agree with that. That 3-0 seems like a good call. Is there anything else you want to plug or talk about before we wrap this edition of the One Goal US Soccer podcast?
I think there's a lot going on. I'm just excited, like I always am. And I love games. I love games. I love seeing our guys play for the club teams. I love seeing our guys play for the national teams. And I think once Jordan Moore starts playing in the championship, I'll be looking forward to watching his game, see how he does in that league. It's definitely a physical one. It's probably the most interesting league in the entire world, because just the fact that he's going to be involved in a promotion battle, the promotion battle in the championship is one of the toughest things in all of world soccer. And so just having him be a part of that's going to be exciting to see down the road.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I agree with that. And I think on that note, we can probably wrap up this edition of the One Goal US Soccer podcast. I know there's been big discussion points about Josh Sargent versus Matthew Hoppe. And I think in the future, maybe not next week after we do our recap episode, but the week after that, we can give people a nice breakdown of the striker position. We have a bigger sample size to evaluate, and we can kind of go from there. But I think on that note, we can wrap up this edition of the One Goal US Soccer podcast. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe. We like those ratings. We like those reviews. 5 stars are always good. And I'm not sure there's anything else to talk about, but I want to say thanks, everyone, for listening. George, thanks, as always, for your time. And we'll be back this time next week. Mm-hmm.